You may see.
We thought we were going to be big stars after this.
Well, big is relative. Your stars.
When I get done with the story, he will be a star.
Oh. No, I will be a star.
All right. When you're ready, we're ready. This is going to be the fastest interview in
the history of your interview.
It might be.
There isn't much to tell.
We can do every foot if you want to.
If you want, we can talk real slow.
There you go. And I'll just speed it up later.
Okay.
Now you're good to go. We're recording. All right. You ready?
Yep. He's ready.
Okay. This is the Tanker Reunion Interview Program. We've got Dave Thompson and Roger Krupke. And they're going to give us some stories or tell us a story, at least one story, about their experiences in Vietnam with the Marine Corps. So, gentlemen, take the floor.
Well, who wants to start?
I can start with how I got to.
Dave's the main character, so.
Okay.
Well, I arrived in Vietnam in March of 1967, approximately March 16th, I think it was, right around there, within a day or so. And, you know, as you know, Pete, report to division, you had to see the division commander.
Right.
That took a day or so, then his battalion a couple of days. I was at the company, and the company commander was Captain Cherico. Next up was Lieutenant Hubbard. And they showed around basically the TOR, that kind of stuff, gave me all the scoop on what was going on in the company area. And asked me which platoon I wanted to take over, because none of the platoons had a lieutenant at the time.
Wow.
They had one dead, but he was being rotated within days. So one platoon was in the field, of course, a good hard charger right out of basic school and tank school. Oh, I want the platoon in the field. Well, naturally, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's true.
And so on, the day was March 21st. It's a day I'll never forget.
A day of infamy.
Yeah. And came my time to finally get to the field. Now, Roger and I have different memories of how this really happened.
Okay.
As I remember it, I was at Bravo Company Tanks, which was near Dylock Pass at the time. And I'm out of the tank, Bravo 2-2, which he had been tank commander.
Right.
And I assumed his place, of course. Mm. And in the field was Bravo 2-1 and Bravo 2-3. 2-4 and 2-5, as I recall, they were at battalion for repair and maintenance, whatever. And But 2-1 and 2-3 were in the mudflats below south of Hill 55 on a sweep. And I know they were attached to Alpha 1-1, because that was part of my orders. I had my little platoon leader's notebook. I'm sure you probably had a little green book.
Yeah.
And in my notebook, it says, "You, Alpha 1-1 is all you work with at this time, nobody else." And we were, it was really a confusing deal, because we were closer to Charlie Company than we were Bravo Company. So administratively, we belonged to Bravo Company. Tactically, we belonged to Alpha 1-1. And for supplies and maintenance, logistically, we were Charlie. So it was all screwed up. It was a mess. I had all kinds of notes in the notebook on different people I was supposed to, places I was supposed to call, units I was supposed to contact, da-da-da, you know. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'm a second lieutenant. Yeah. What do I know? You know, I got all this written down. And one last thing they told me, find out who we got down there. Serious. I got that written. I think I showed it to you in my book. I should have brought my book. I wish I would have. It's still written there. Find out who we have there. They knew they had a guy named Baker and Krupke. Well, Krupke was on the tank with me.
Okay.
This was Krupke. Baker, I have no clue who Baker was. Well, we get down there. We follow a Jeep down to 55. It was the captain of Charlie, company commander of Charlie Company. He led us down there. I didn't know the way. I didn't know where 55 was. You know, barely had a map. And crossed the bridge south of 55 and met up with the two tanks already in position,
right,
and two squads of infantry. So there was a Sergeant Kukendall, I think was his name. He had been in charge of that section, and he was leaving. So I get out of the Jeep. I go there. Kukendall hands me a PRK 25 radio so I could talk to the infantry, because I was going to be in charge.
Right.
Okay, I got this, you know, really. And because we had the old radios in the tanks,
yeah,
we converted over, you know. And so without the PRK 25, we couldn't talk to the infantry. So I take that and I strap it on. I got it sitting out there. And away we move. We start moving east. We moved maybe, give me a break.
10 feet?
400 meters. Give me 400 meters.
400 meters. Give me a break.
It's probably less than that. Well, we came to a creek bed. And they had gone through there several hours before.
Right.
So we had engineers. So we sent out the engineers to sweep for mines in case the gooks snuck in behind us. Well, we stopped, and I'm looking through the binoculars. I grabbed the radio to see how they were coming. Next thing I knew, I'm down. I had no clue what happened, but I was down at the bottom of the tank. So I get up, get back up to the TC cube below, and I grab the radio. About that time, Corporal Kropke grabs me. He says, "You're hit." And I, "What? No, I'm fine." He said, "No, you're not." He pulled me down. Now you take over.
Well, that's the whole story.
It took about 15 minutes.
Yeah, we had two tanks out there, and Genny Sims was like the platoon commander, or acting platoon commander. He was actually a platoon sergeant, and because we hadn't had a lieutenant since July, I think. You know, we just were operating with a gunnery sergeant. So they had called and said, "Hey, you're getting a new lieutenant, you know, you go out to here and you meet him and bring him back and he's gonna be in charge, you know." So the two tanks rolled out there. We jump off, I meet Dave, you know, only I didn't know, you know, we introduced each other, but I couldn't remember his name until...
And notice I knew his name because it was written in my book.
Wow.
Yeah, the story is what happens really after this, but... So anyway, Dave goes, "Well, you mind if I take over your tank?" I go, "No, that's fine. You know, I'll jump in the loader's hatch and stuff." And so we get up on top, and he's standing in, you know, where I would normally be, and I'm in the loader's hatch, and we take off, and I'll give you the 400 meters. Anyway, all of a sudden, I have this thing just cracks right in front of my face. Yeah, I can feel the wind, you know, and Dave is hit, you know, and I know it, and, you know, he's down, back up, so I pulled him down, laid him down the bottom of the tank, like we were talking at lunch, you know. He goes, "I didn't think I was hit that bad," and I said, "Well, I did. I could see everything inside you."
Oh,
you know, because I did not split him right across here. And so it just opened him up.
Yeah.
And everything was showing. So I know what's inside Dave now.
And we finally, and we had to get to where Alpha Company was.
Yeah.
I was the one that had a map. You remember that? They're looking for a map. Nobody was for sure where they were.
Jeez.
And it was old Route 4, uh-huh. which eventually became Liberty Road. And at that time, it was just a dirt track. They hadn't done it. It hadn't been used in years. And they were right off that. So I told them, you know, just keep heading east and you'll get there. And we got there. I jumped off the tank. I was fine. I had no clue. I thought, I was fine, I thought. And I get there. And I get out of the tank and I walk over and this Corman grabs it. "Get down." I got down. In the middle of the pad, and they strapped me to a stretcher. And the lieutenant who was in charge there of Alpha 1-1 was one of my basic school classmates. I don't know which one it was, because he knew me. He came out, tapped me on the shoulder, says, "This is not like basic school."
Oh, geez.
And I was trying to see him, and I couldn't see him. And so then, helicopter was supposed to pick me up, of course. Then the jets come over, and they start dropping napalm around us. I don't have a weapon. I'm getting a little worried about that, but I still think I'm all right. Well, the chopper finally gets in, take off. Well, the gunner gets hit. He just gets shot, just grazed in the shoulder, so he's bleeding all over the place. Well, they get me to the tank. I think I'm fine. They haul me off the chopper, and they bring in a big Quonset hut. And there's a bunch of, I don't know how many were laying there. There's a lot. And the corpsman starts on me, and I had a new pair of boots that I bought at Fort Knox, those nice Corcoran jump boots with the steel toes. And I told him, "Don't lose my boots." He says, Lieutenant, you got other things to worry about. I said, no, I'm fine. You take care of those guys. I'm okay. He says, you're next. I said, what?
Wow.
I said, no, I'm doing good. And all of a sudden, they take me in there. And this priest comes, and he started giving me the last rites.
Holy man.
Then it finally hit me. I'm not doing real good. But until that time, I wouldn't believe me.
Yeah.
And the next the next thing I knew, it's that evening, it's dark. I wake up for just a few seconds. They're loading me onto a 130. I know I'm going up the ramp, and the company commander, Cherico, is there. Right. And he says something to me. I don't know what he said. I just remember looking at him, and I was right back out. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in the Philippines.
Good Lord.
Several days later. So I ended up, I had peritonitis. And, I just remember waking up in bed, and you could smell vinegar. They pumped so much aspirin to get my temperature down.
Yeah.
And they had to change the sheets, I guess, because it was just
like
salt all over you, and which I didn't know. I didn't know any of this, you know.
Is this a sniper round, you figure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, and after we got him off of the tank, you know, then, you know, we're scanning the tree lines, and like he said, you know, that's when the helicopter came in, and the jets and the napalm and stuff, and we're firing into the tree line, you know, trying to lodge whoever's in there. But, and then the story actually, so anyway, we went about our business, and that part of the story is over. The neat part of the story is, what, 45 years later?
Yeah, roughly 45 years later.
45 years later, you know, I had a friend, boot camp, and we were having dinner one night, and he told me, you know, and he was in tanks too. Right. He was in Charlie Company, but he says, you know, there's a tanker association out there. And I said, no, I didn't know that. And so he gave me the website. I went on the website and, you know, signed up for it and put my name in and figured that's it, you know. I was in the association. Well, it was 07, yeah. And I get this email from Dave, or from a person.
Yeah.
See, and
you probably don't even remember his name at this point.
No, and I told my wife, you know.
And all I knew was his last name, but there can't be too many Kropkes. And I knew he was from California. For some reason, I knew you were from California, and I don't know how I knew that. But I didn't know he was from California.
But I told this story, you know, about this lieutenant who got into Vietnam, you know, and he, 10 minutes in the field, and he's out, you know.
You broke a record.
And so it didn't help the average any. I don't know if it's a record, but it didn't help the average.
So yeah, but I never knew his name or anything, you know. And so people go, wow, you know, what a story. You know? Well, anyway, I get this email, and I'll give it to Dave on the email,
and he answered. And so I called him, and I called his house. And the first time I called, his wife answered the phone. She says, well, he's in the shower, and I said, well, my name is Dave Thompson. And I was in a Marine Corps with Roger, and he was with me when I was wounded. Oh, he wants to talk to you. I've heard that story 100 times over the years. He said, I'll go get him. I said, no, you, oh, just wait. I'll call back. He said, no, he'll call you as soon as he gets out of the shower. And he did. And we talked, I don't know, 45 minutes or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we only knew each other 10 or 15 minutes.
It was off of the Tanker Association website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I get the email goes, you know, if you are, you know, the Roger Kropke who was on Tank 2-2 and had a lieutenant shot and so on and so forth.
I'm him.
You know, I'm him and I'd like to talk to you.
Wow.
And we knew each other. We got to Las Vegas at separate times. And I got there before him. As soon as he walked in the door, I knew who he was.
Really?
And he looked over and he saw me and he knew exactly who I was.
Unbelievable.
And it was like we'd known each other our whole lives, within a half hour.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was like we were old friends. It was an amazing story.
Yeah.
It just
and so every year since then,
we've gotten together.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone to state with him in California twice. And he came to my town. I live in Illinois. He came to Illinois, and we went to a vacation in Washington, D.C. together.
Yeah.
For a week.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we've gone to, we missed the Charleston reunion because I had broken my leg and didn't feel like hobbling around. And, but we've been to San Diego, and Dave came out, stayed with us. We went down there and, you know.
San Diego's a good reunion.
It was good. It was fun.
And so anyway, that's the neat part of the story is our wives, you know, Dave and I, good friends.
Yeah,
and the wives started off great too.
But the wives feel the same way. It's like the two families, like we have known each other
forever.
Yeah.
And the wives get along good, we all get along good, and it's just been a great, great friendship.
That's fantastic. Well, that's a great story.
Yeah.
I think that you're right. That is one that you probably would, because you never knew who, I didn't know half my platoon's real names.
Right.
You know, we all had radio names, so you know, you just, and in fact, when I got back, 20 years later, Vargo found me somehow, and he said, I heard you were dead.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't think so.
Well, I went back. I volunteered. I got out of the hospital in end of May 67. And when I got out, I was at Great Lakes. I ended up at Great Lakes. When I got out at Great Lakes, of course, as soon as they get out, you're attached to the Marine Barracks there. I go over and I go into the office and report in, you know, and the Sergeant Major says, you got any requests for duty station? I said, yeah, I'd like to go back. Well, I don't know, Lieutenant. I don't know about that. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. Just a minute. So he goes into the office and sees the colonel. Well, then the colonel calls me and says, I hear you're volunteering to go back. You sure you want to do that? I said, yeah, that's what I want to do.
What year was this?
1967.
67.
Okay. Been late May, early June. And he says, well, that's what you really want to do. We'll see what we can do. He says, you go on home. And I already lived 2.5 hours from Chicago.
Right.
So he says, you go home, we'll get back to you. So I went home and I stayed home for about 4 or 5 days, you know. Phone rings, I says, well, we got your orders. I said, okay, good, am I going back? He said, yep, but you have to stay in the States 6 months. I said, oh, okay, I thought it'd be fine.
Yeah.
So where am I going? You're going to Glenview Naval Air Station. I was a tank officer. Sorry, Glenview Naval Air Station at the time was headquarters for the 4th Marine Air Wing.
Right.
And so I became the wing assistant motor transport officer. I had nothing about motor transport. But I reported in, and the day I reported in, I reported this captain. Because it was all senior. There were only two lieutenants there in this command. It was a former enlisted lieutenant in the supply department, and me. And it was like two captains. The rest were majors, lieutenant colonels, and generals. And I actually reported in this captain. He says, looked at my orders. What the hell are you doing here? You're at 1800. Isn't that tanks? I guess. Why are you here? I don't know. So wait a minute. They take me up to the general. General Art Adams, great guy. And said, you guys aren't going to believe this, general. He looks at him. What the hell are you doing here? The same thing. I don't know what I'm doing here. And actually, I loved it there. I had a great time. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time acting as the general's aide. Because the captain was his aide, but the captain had orders for Vietnam as a pilot.
Right.
And he to spend time with his wife. We made a lot of trips around the country inspecting reserve units and stuff.
Okay.
So the captain would set everything up, then I would go with the general.
Yeah.
It would be the dog robber, we called him. You know, I would just
So did you ever go back?
Yes, I did. I went back. I returned to Bravo Company December. I finally got back there December 67.
Wow. And tanks?
Oh, yeah. Bravo. I was in Bravo Company and then HNS. Yeah.
Same
thing. Most of the time, just about, well, yeah. The second day I was with Bravo Company, I went out on the road sweep. And we weren't 200 meters from where I was hit the year before.
Oh, my gosh.
And we got hit again. We started getting incoming rounds.
You're a slow learner?
Now, don't think I'm crazy. All I could do was laugh.
Wow. Yeah.
What else can you do? I just dropped down. He was back.
Yeah, I went to Quantico. And, I'm a West Coast guy.
Yeah.
And so when they, you know, you sign your little paper where you want to go. And I put San Diego, you know, Pendleton or El Toro.
Lots of options.
Yeah, and they sent me to Quantico. And so I went, we were in the student demonstration troops there. And so,
oh, geez.
So we put
student
on.
Demonstration.
it was like, well, you went through Quantico.
Yeah.
There's only one battalion of enlisted on the whole base, and all we do is put on.
Oh, you remember the
demonstrations for the.
We used to fight them all the time. Remember? We beat them in a lot of battles.
Well, that was us, you know, and so we did that for
a long time. You know,
that's what our thing was, and then I went to combat in Washington D.C. in '68 riots. We got sent up to Washington D.C. for that. I met Hubert Humphrey on the streets and stuff. It was a good tour.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, knowing each other for all of 15 to 20 minutes and then hooking up like you did is part of the Marine Corps, I think. It's that small.
Yeah.
And that time
The Marine Corps is a small place. To add another story, if I might. My son, he's a Marine. He's a major now. The time he was a captain, he got assigned to Headquarters Marine Corps. And they had this other captain report in near him. My son was walking by this desk, and he sees this picture of this guy's father standing next to a red MGB. Mm-hmm. I had a red MGB. And my son, what's that? He says, well, that's my dad. He says, I was taking a basic school at Quantico, 1967.
Oh.
That's not your dad's car, is it? He says, no, that was another lieutenant he went to tank school with. He says, yeah, that was my dad.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's
true story.
Well, it's amazing how you guys have connected and stay connected.
That's been great.
And become good friends besides being good Marines. You know, it's just been great.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
Probably saved his butt, you know.
Probably did.
By pulling him back down.
He probably did. More than likely.
Yeah,
I wasn't very smart.
Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're
very great story.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll, if we've got anything we need further, you know, we know how to get a hold of you. And if you get some more stories, you know, don't be shy. Email me.
I can tell you a quick one about the hospital.
Sure.
It's got a crazy story.
Those are the best kind.
Well, when I got to the hospital at Great Lakes, you're out of it. The trip kills you, you know, because we flew back, and you're at the Bethesda overnight, and you get to Chicago, and you get to Great Lakes, and you're wore out.
Yeah.
You're just beat. And so I slept a day or so, and I kind of came to, and I hear this voice. And when I was at basic school, my roommate was a German, Erwin Topper, and he had the German accent. He was born in Germany.
Yeah.
It was Topper. My roommate from Quantico was in the adjoining room. The other story is better. Well, I'm in the room with this captain who was a pilot. He got shot in the leg and hit the back of his leg, came all the way up and just laid his leg wide open. So it's just all open. Well, I've got stomach wound. I can't stand up straight. And Topper's hit right through the hand. He's like this. Well, this captain, he was quite the ladies' man and quite the drinker. And he talks this nurse into getting a civilian clothes. And so she does. And the PX. So we sneak out of the hospital. We don't have any shoes. We sneak out of the hospital. And one guy's like this. I can't stand up. And we're up with this captain. And we go to the officers' club. And we get there. And we have three or four beers. Well, we're drunk on our rear ends, you know. They call the shore patrol to come and get us. We were taken back to the hospital by the shore patrol.
Oh, my gosh.
They took all our clothes. This admiral was in charge of the hospital. He had a personal meeting with all three of us.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I had this tube in my stomach, and then the doctor come in, and he laid me down, and he pulled the whole thing all out at once. They were supposed to take it out a little bit. I couldn't move for like 4 days.
Yeah.
All I could do was lay in the fetal position. He says, you won't be going anywhere. But they took everything we had.
Yeah, you were.
And the nurse they removed from the corner and brought in some mean old gal, you know. They kept us side by side.
Oh, my gosh. Well, fantastic.
It was fun. All right, best for the world.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. Sure.
Thank you, Pete.
We'll see you up at the statue.
Thank you for all your efforts.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This is going to be fantastic.
Oh, you got to have a little levity. You
know. Oh, yeah. Oh, almost every interview that I've had ended with, all right, is the camera off? Let me tell you this story.